everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing our show on this Tuesday, November 29th, 2016. You know, our winter really begins at Thanksgiving till about Easter, so we're time to break out the blankets and the jackets, but it's nice for a change, certainly. Remember to protect your plants and, of course, the pipes and your animals. Don't forget about the animals. Buckmaster Show Live, line 790-2040 for your calls and comments. Let's go right to the live line now and State Senator Steve Smith. Senator Smith from the community of Maricopa. He is a Republican state senator representing District 11, recently reelected. Senator Smith, how are you?
Well, Bill, pleasure, and thank you for having me. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing very well. You also have the leadership roles are being the committee assignments. You will be chairing the Committee on Commerce and Public Safety. That should be a good one, huh?
Yes, sir. I think that's the first time those two committees have ever been combined. And so the special part for that for me is not only everything coming to our state business-related, economy-driven, all those kind of things. Of course, those will come through our committee, but as well, everything law enforcement, police, fire, the border, all of those will come through as well. So we've been given a big task, a big responsibility, but I'm certainly up for the challenge, and I'm very pleased. And so, matter of fact, in just a few minutes, the governor is going to be announcing a major company that just is moving to Arizona, thousands of new jobs. And so those are the kind of things that we want to continue to work on and fight for and increase our infrastructure and get our economy kick-starting again, and I can't wait.
Well, I know you don't want to upstage the governor with this, but this several thousand jobs, from what I understand, these are high-paying jobs in the Casa Grande area, which is your district, correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah, it is. And so in just about a half hour, he's going to announce the company. And so, yes, I think that's probably a good idea. I should not upstage him. But it'll be a major company. You're exactly right. Lots of high-paying jobs. I think this company is especially looking, to employ vets, veterans as well. And so, just an area of a state that we needed the most. Casa Grande is certainly a good hub lately for a lot of business to come to. But I love seeing some of these bigger entities come outside of Maricopa County, which is nice, spread out the diversity and the wealth over the state. And that's exactly what's going to happen today.
And that's an area of influence that affects us, too, here in Tucson, with the good news about Caterpillar, this announcement that is going to be made today. Cumulatively, things are looking better for, as you say, kind of the outside of the Maricopa County sphere of influence.
It is. And we're thrilled to death about Caterpillar's investment, of course, right in your neck of the woods as well. And the neat thing is about Arizona, a lot of people don't realize, but Kiplinger just had us rated number one in the nation in job growth. Forbes magazine has us ranked number two in the nation for future job growth. So we're doing a lot of things right in Arizona in terms of, rebounding from, the dip that we had several years ago. And Arizona's leading the country in job growth today and future job growth tomorrow. And so, we want to make sure that we continue to sit in the driver's seat, that we push some of those good pro-business policies through, that's the magnet for some of these places to come here. Matter of fact, the very one today that I'll be attending in a half hour with the governor was one of those, I guess you can call it, magnet draws. It was this is an out-of-state company that loved what Arizona was doing, and they're here now, and that's exactly what we want.
All right, let's go to the live line. We have a couple of callers. Tom has an education question, and I believe, Senator Smith, you are on the committee on education in the Senate. That was just announced as well. Go ahead, Tom.
Yes, Senator, is it possible for the governor to redirect tax money from the business community to the education community so as to better prepare high school graduates to better serve the business community by their education.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Go ahead, Senator Smith.
Yes, thank you, Tom. And obviously, education is a pillar in what we do here at the Capitol each and every year. And so, Tom, you're exactly right. It's the focus to getting more resources into the education K-12 and university system has been a priority. This past year, we're now at the highest all-time funding we've ever had for K-12. Over 50%, 5-0, over 50% of Arizona's $9.6 billion budget is going towards education. You know, and so when people say invest in education, well, more than half of our budget is going to it. And so now you only have the other part of the budget left to run the entire rest of the state. We just invested an additional $200 million into our university system this last year, above and beyond what we normally give them.
All
you
right.
know, and three of the top 10 public high schools in the country are right here in Arizona. You know, and so education funding is always going to be there, but I think we've certainly done a lot these last couple years. And I think the governor is going to continue to invest into the education system of Arizona.
All right, back to the live line. Our friend Jim has called, Jim Kelly, with a question for State Senator Steve Smith. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, Senator Smith. Last year, a bill was introduced to define intersections in the state of Arizona, and it was defeated by the red light camera lobbyist. Will the Senate and the House revisit that again to try to define what an intersection is, particularly within the same definition as every other state in the United States?
Yeah, thank you, and I hope so. As a matter of fact, last year, one of those bills was mine, and I said, if you are a community that wants to have photo radar and you want to have red light cameras, then you know what? You ought to ask the people of that community before you do it. And I said, so whatever community you are, in your next election, have a vote of the people. and if the people want them, then let them install them. And I had passed that bill successfully halfway through the legislature, but then it was defeated. And to me, that's very important, because we keep hearing these cities and towns saying, well, it's a good revenue source, but it's a good safety program. And it's like, well, wait a minute, you know, well, which is it? Is it a revenue source or is it safety? Well, why don't you let the people decide if they want it?
All right.
So I hope that legislation comes back, but I'll continue to fight for it.
You also will be seating. You're also on the Education Committee, and you're on the committee, chairing the Committee on Commerce and Public Safety and Appropriations, which is very important. So how does the budget look for the 2017 year?
Well, if we can keep our spending under control, which is certainly something that that I've done my time here, I've been named champion of the taxpayer, I think, every year I've been here, then we'll be in good shape. We've got about $24 million in our budget this coming year that we think is usable, spendable money that will not sink our budget. $24 million. It's not a whole lot when you really think about it. And so we've got to be prudent. We've got to be wise. We've got to keep that money, spend in the right areas. But we can't overspend. And when you start to overspend, right, then bad things start to happen. Our credit rating, Moody's just increased our credit rating about a year or so ago because we've had balanced budgets, because we've been prudent with our finances. So believe me, I'm going to continue to fight that we have a balanced budget.
All right. So that announcement coming about Casa Grande and the jobs, that's going to be coming up in about 15 minutes from the
yes,
governor.
Sir.
And was this something that the economic development people in the area were working with the governor to bring this particular company to town?
That's right. And matter of fact, there's a press conference right here that I'm standing in that I think we got to take part in. So,
all righty. State Senator Steve Smith, thank you very much. Go on to the news conference, and we'll be expecting that news momentarily. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it. God bless.
All right. State Senator Steve Smith, he is a Republican. He is from the community of Maricopa. He represents District Number 11. We'll be right back. Shelley Fishman is with us. Shelley, up or down on the market? Two thumbs up. That's pretty good. We'll talk to Shelley with our Tuesday Moneymaker Report right after this on Buckmaster.
Did you know that this year you can give more charitable tax credit dollars than ever before? And claim a dollar-for-dollar credit on your Arizona state taxes. The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 31 local charities, encourages you to put your state tax dollars to work in our community. It's easy. Feel good when you give at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
Sadly, animal abandonment and neglect happen to millions of animals every day. The Humane Society of Southern Arizona sees these cases all the time, and we want to save as many of these forgotten animals as we possibly can. Please give to the forgotten and show them someone cares. Visit hssaz.org/forgottenfund to make your gift now. Remember, the Humane Society on Giving Tuesday, November 29th, and help our abandoned animals.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Shelly Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And we welcome Shelly Fishman back from a very restful Thanksgiving respite. over in the beautiful Monterey Bay Area. I know you had a great time over there.
Yeah, it'd it was just about perfect.
it'd be hard not to have a good time in Monterey.
Right. The weather was beautiful. Yeah. The coast is just gorgeous. Mm. The tourists were well behaved, and the restaurants were doing what they always do, which is serve great seafood.
Yeah, there's wonderful seafood over in Monterey. Mm-hmm. How are we doing with this post-election rally?
Well, the post-election rally seems to have run its course, and I think that's what the consensus is among the people that I follow on a daily basis. Now, that's not to say that the market can't go higher or won't go higher, but it's to say that when all of that irrational exuberance has kind of spent itself, now we look at fundamentals. And as of this morning, the fundamentals we were looking at were the price of oil and what could happen if OPEC fails to reach an agreement that would cut production a little bit so that they could keep the price of oil up in the 40s where it is today. If oil drops back down to $30 a barrel, that will have repercussions throughout the economy. The other commodity that we're watching, because it's gone up and then gone down almost as much as it rose, was gold. And gold tends to be something that people flee to because they think it's safe. But gold isn't really safe. Gold fluctuates with the market and can be very, very volatile.
A lot of people like to have a little gold in their portfolio. What's your thinking on that?
I think having a little gold in the portfolio is fine, but if you're
a brick or two under your mattress.
Well, that's a different story.
No.
Being invested in gold as a hedge against inflation or as a hedge against the market doing really stupid things is not a bad thing. The problem is people just assume because gold is a precious metal that it'll stay precious. And it doesn't. Gold has been as high as $1,400 an ounce, and it has been as low as a couple of $100 an ounce. Now, not recently, but but we've seen vast fluctuations, 20 or 30% fluctuations in the price of gold and other commodities.
And there are ways to do it that in your portfolio that makes sense, right?
Yeah, I'm not
through a different fund.
Okay, so the conspiracy theorists, actually go and buy gold.
Right.
That's a different thing. You can own some of the metal. You can keep it safe, either in the depositories of the broker dealer that you invest with. You can have gold and actually keep the bullion in your IRA. That's legal. You can do that. But most people today, I think, when they're not using gold for jewelry or other ornament purposes, buy gold stocks. They buy funds that track the price of gold. They trade on a daily basis. They're even in some ways more liquid than gold itself, because you can trade them in a minute. You don't have to actually get a bid and then get the stuff and ship it off to whoever bought it.
What is a commodity anyway, technically?
What a great question.
Basic question, but a lot of people wonder. What is a commodity?
A commodity is a product that is not differentiated from by the company that is selling or mining that product. So that an ounce of gold is an ounce of gold. A barrel of oil pretty much is a barrel of oil. You can't differentiate those products based upon who you buy them from. They are what they are. As a result, they tend to fluctuate based upon market conditions rather than based upon some differentiation of that product by the company that is selling it. When you have a product and you develop a product and then market that product, you have a product strategy that differentiates that product from your competitors. And that product can be differentiated and therefore priced according to your product strategy and according to the age of the product in your product line. So, they might start off with a product you're investing in. It might become a star. Then it becomes a cash cow. And eventually it becomes a pig. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that cycle is well understood, and companies try to manage that cycle such that they can use the revenues from that product to develop new products.
Where the price of a product is going to vary, perhaps, from each manufacturer.
Exactly,
but
according now with to a strategy.
Yeah, but with a commodity, it's pretty much a set.
You know?
And by the way, who does set that? There are different...
Well, the market sets it.
The market sets it.
It's set by the free market. And okay. What companies that deal mostly in commodities try to do is differentiate themselves some other way. So, for instance, customer service is a good way to differentiate yourself. Having access and being able to trade commodities in large quantities gives you the ability to not be subject to price fluctuations that are out of your control. So that if you're in the commodity business, if you're trading commodities, then you really try to differentiate yourself as a company in other ways different from just the product itself. And so when we talk about the commodities market, we talk about products that are intrinsically the same when they come from anybody you buy them mm-hmm. from or sell them to, and then those companies try to differentiate themselves some other way. So gold is a commodity, oil is a commodity, many agricultural products are commodities.
Coffee is a commodity.
Coffee is a mm-hmm. commodity, though some yep. people would argue not. So those are the kinds of things that we talk about when we talk about commodities.
And how that affects the equity market?
Well, what happens, of course, is that a lot of these commodities are traded very heavily. And when they are traded that way, movement up or down can affect the economies of companies, especially developing companies who take a lot of their economies out of the ground. They extract those commodities from their soil, from from the water, and they mine those products. And so when the price of commodities goes down, those countries that are most dependent upon those commodities get into trouble. And when those economies get into trouble, then it affects all the companies that do business within those countries, even if they're not doing business in commodities. So if I'm selling refrigerators to a country that is heavily dependent on the price of oil, mm-hmm. And the price of oil goes down, then the amount of refrigerators they can buy. So it's all integrated. It all bleeds one to the other. Oil, however, is probably the one commodity that is the most affecting of economies around the world more than any other commodity.
Because so right oil now, is used in just about every
just
product.
Just about everything we make.
Yeah.
As a result, when that price starts to fluctuate, we get into some trouble. That's the cold that everybody, that's the sneeze that everybody gets a cold from. And so right now we have OPEC trying to decide whether or not to stabilize the price. If they don't stabilize the price, and supplies continue to be as high as they are today, we could see the price of oil going back down to $30. We know what that did to our growth in our economy a year and a half, 2 years ago when that happened. We don't want to see that happen again. We'll see if OPEC can, OPEC is a cartel. They are illegal around mm-hmm. most of the world, but cartels are. But OPEC is a cartel that is kind of immune to those rules. They meet and they fix prices.
The U.S. housing market has been bouncing back, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And speaking of commodities, it's commodity sensitive, isn't it?
Well, it's commodity sensitive because when you're building new mm-hmm. houses, you're using commodities.
Right.
You're using wood. You're using metal. You're using concrete. You're using
copper.
This stuff. Copper, certainly. But what we've seen, it was just in the headlines today, is in the 20 top cities that Case-Shiller, who measures these things, looks at, is the price of new homes is almost where it was before the crash in 2008. Now, do we see that here in Tucson? No. But we are seeing it in other big cities, Seattle, San Francisco, even Phoenix. where those prices are now as high as they were. As a result, what we're seeing is a lot of speculation. And so we're seeing offshore companies and offshore individuals coming in, buying up real estate, renting it out, that kind of thing.
And emerging markets have been taking a beating lately, haven't they?
Emerging market debt and emerging market equities have not done as well as they you would have expected
with
them.
Post-election with the rally.
Right, exactly.
All right, Shelley Fishman, where can people find out more about you?
Right here on the Buckmaster Show. Just go to the buckmastershow.com and hit the link, and that will send me an email, and I return the calls instantly.
Shelley, I hope you have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Thanks a lot. We'll be right back on Buckmaster 12:30 on this Tuesday afternoon.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday at noon, Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek visits with us. Also, we'll meet the newest member of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. Her name is Rachel Sedwick. Buckmaster on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, with worldwide live listening, our podcasts, and the complete show archive. That's on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I want to send as many of our listeners over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. They've been with us pretty much since day one of our coming up on 6 years here on the radio, and they do such a nice job over in historic Silver City. They really take care of visitors, and we send a lot of our Buckmaster Show listeners over there. People, it's a three-hour drive, and people come back and say, I had no idea. That is a great portion of the Southwest United States and Southwest New Mexico. Take a look at southwestnewmexico.org. That'd be a great starting point. That's spelled out, southwestnewmexico.org. The many fine places to stay. There's several dozen listed, and at least several dozen recreation ideas as well. southwestnewmexico.org. Today is Giving Tuesday. Giving Tuesday has become really an international opportunity for people to give to their favorite nonprofit, or if it's the case of plurals, nonprofits. If you would like to support more than one, that would be more the better. And we have the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona. The CEO is with us, Michael McDonald. Michael, good to see you.
Thanks, Bill. It's good to be with you and your listeners.
Giving Tuesday's really become a very important revenue, part of the revenue pie for nonprofits, hasn't it?
It has. And I'm thank you. We are the both-and sector, not the either-or sector. So we all have our list of favorite charities, and I'd encourage everyone today to think about giving to the Community Food Bank and your other charities of choice.
How does it work? Giving Tuesday. It's just an opera. You go to the website or
that's
or
probably
what?
You know, we're calling a lot of our friends and supporters right now. When I left the office a little while ago, we were about 40% of our goal, so we're pretty pleased. But yes, communityfoodbank.org. Communityfoodbank.org is the best and easiest way to make a contribution to feed neighbors in need.
And there are some holiday matches that go with this.
Gratefully, we do have some very generous donors who are matching dollar for dollar through the holiday giving season. We're very excited by that opportunity. We thank those families.
This is such an important time of year for the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona. There are the need. Of course, is very great year-round, but it seems especially focused this time of year.
I think so. You know, as we all gather with family and friends for the holidays, we think about those who may not have family and friends to gather with or who are just struggling to make ends meet. And we serve about 187,000 people every year in five Southern Arizona counties, and most of them are working families. They just can't quite make ends meet, so they come to the food bank maybe once a month, twice a month for various services. It might be hunger relief, some extra food. It might be some educational opportunities. And they just need a helping hand up.
And I know seniors need food assistance perhaps more than ever these days.
You know, I think that's our big concern. As our population ages, our elders are fairly vulnerable here in Southern Arizona. Many may have come here decades ago and lost their spouses over the years, are isolated from family and friends, living on fixed income. And 25% of our clients are grandparents raising grandchildren. So it's a lot of stress to be able to make ends meet as a senior in our community, especially as you age and your health declines.
I know Pima Council on Aging is really focusing on this as well. They're in the midst of their four-year assessment that they do. We had Mark Clark on the show recently, and he was also articulating the fact that services for seniors is really going to be a huge focus.
I think so. I was just with Mark this morning, and we have some partnerships that we're launching, and one is really reaching out to seniors and saying, please take benefit of your federal benefits, including SNAP, which is the new name for food stamps. And it's an under-enrolled federal program. It's available here in Southern Arizona. We just don't have enough seniors signed up, and it can make all the difference in the world between eating a nutritious meal every single day.
How about this microloan program that has been launched?
Yes, thanks for talking about that, Bill. You know, we've been doing hunger relief for 40 years, and we have to say we're getting closer and closer every year to providing meals to people in need. But 40 years of hunger relief, we are not quite feeding our way out of hunger or poverty. And so we've got to feed people's economic opportunity. We have a lot of these working families who we serve every year. They just need a little extra income. Many of them are starting food businesses. And, you know, Tucson is the UN's, UNESCO's city of gastronomy in North America. And so we've got a lot of food entrepreneurs we've worked with over the years. Perhaps they grew food at one of our gardens or our farm, and they need a little bit of extra capital, don't have a really good credit score, not banked, but really have a viable business. So we're starting to provide some loan capital, very low interest, patient capital, not a lot, maybe $2,500, $5,000 at most, to food entrepreneurs we work with for a while who just need to buy that tortilla making machine. And because they're getting contracts with natural grocers or Whole Foods or others, and they can make a go of it.
Well, then they make a go of it, and then it helps all of us with the economy. So
absolutely.
I'm glad you all are doing
that. Yeah, we're feeding incomes, not just bellies.
Very much appreciate you taking that into the portfolio. Okay, we've got some big events coming up. The Winter Haven Festival of Lights, of course, has been an institution for decades here in Southern Arizona. That will launch on December 10th through the 26th. I know you've partnered with them and will be again this year.
Yep, we will be at all three of the entrances to Winter Haven Festival of Lights. We'd like to collect tens of thousands of pounds of food, non-perishable food items. We also accept cash and check donations.
Also, the KOLD Wells Fargo Stuff the Stagecoach, that's coming up very soon, this week, in fact.
Thursday. All day, Orange Grove and Oracle. It's at the Wells Fargo Bank there.
What are your particular needs when it comes to food items? Are there some things that you need to kind of help immediately?
I think, you know, children always appreciate peanut butter and cereal, and sometimes cereal is not an item that people can afford. So that's very much appreciated by all the young people we serve, all the children. We do know that families also appreciate canned meats of all types, canned vegetables, and canned foods. And while we do get a lot of fresh produce and other perishable food items at these food drives at Winter Haven and Wells Fargo Stuff the Stagecoach, we ask for non-perishable food items, and preferably not in jars, just because we don't want anything to break.
We're with Michael McDonald. He is the CEO of the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona. This is how many years then? Coming up on?
3 years.
3 years. How time flies.
Time does fly.
And of course, before that, you were with Habitat for Humanity. So you know our community very well. And this is a very giving community. I've seen some surveys. I think Google did something showing that Tucson, Southern Arizona, among the most giving in the entire United States.
I think that's true. And we can prove it again today by Giving Tuesday. Communityfoodbank.org, make a donation, and then think of your other favorite charity of choice. Maybe Pima Council on Aging, since we're talking about seniors.
Over $100,000 came in last year on Giving Tuesday. That's a nice chunk of change to help replenish some of the pantry shelves at the Community Food Bank.
Yes, and this is the time of year that we're just getting restocked with all the food drives and the additional support with Giving Tuesday and holiday giving. Our goal is to beat that number again this year, and we're on track to do that. So communityfoodbank.org.
And holiday meals, are you still doing the holiday meals?
We work with about 250 partner agencies.
Wow.
So Salvation Army, Gospel Rescue, all the places that provide meals.
Yes.
And so we provide a lot of food to them. Of course, they also secure food from other sources, but we're a big provider of food.
All right. Michael McDonald, CEO of the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona. Remember, folks, it is Giving Tuesday. Think about your favorite charities and your favorite nonprofits. Certainly, I hope at the top of your list or very close to the top of the list is the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona. Michael, I hope you have a wonderful holiday season. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Michael McDonald with us. And we'll talk next a little bit with Robert Hendricks, our contributor on education. What is the limit on homework? That's something I think a lot of parents wonder about. How much is too much homework for the kids? We'll be right back.
Enjoy the most magical time of the year with friends and family at Tohono O'Toole's annual Holiday Nights. Listen to musical performances as you stroll through the gardens decked with over a million twinkling lights. Holiday Nights takes place the first three Fridays and Saturdays in December from 5:30 to 8:30. Shop local this holiday season. Our museum shops are full of local art and unique gifts, including annual memberships to Tohono O'Toole. Tickets and event information are available at tohonootoole.org/holidaynights.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I mentioned briefly that my lovely wife Ann and I had a chance to visit with Jack and Jan, the owners of Green Things at 3384 East River Road. They gave us a beautiful tour of greenhouse after greenhouse filled with the most beautiful, colorful poinsettias for the holidays. Some of these are like 4 feet tall. We took one home that was about that size and is in the living room. Who needs a Christmas tree when you've got that kind of a poinsettia in just the most beautiful reds? And it's just, check it out. If you're ready to do your holiday decorating, go buy Green Things just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Their website is greenthingsaz.com. And what they have done with that property over there, it's amazing. They started with 4 acres. They've got about 13 or more acres now at Green Things. I get very excited talking about it because what they've done there is just a real asset to Tucson along the Rito River there. All right, let's welcome now Dr. Robert Hendricks, the Buckmaster Show contributor on education. Dr. Hendricks, the one-time superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District and one-time Arizona top school superintendent. And, of course, he's been at the University of Arizona College of Education, where he is a professor emeritus. Dr. Hendricks, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
The last time we chatted, you were busy working in Asia, and now you're home for a little while anyway.
I am home, and I'm happy to be home for the holidays, for
sure. I bet. Good topic today. How much homework is too much? That will be our focus for the next 10 minutes. And I think a lot of parents ask that probably every day.
Well, it's a great question, and there's actually a small but growing movement in elementary schools to eliminate homework.
Really?
Because of concerns that it disrupts family time. I'm sure a lot of listeners could relate to the tension sometimes between parents and students in their relationship because of that homework issue, that it burdens students with additional stress, and that it has very little effect on student achievement.
Well, that's the big one that I was thinking about. Does it make a difference in student achievement? In other words, more homework does not necessarily translate to better grades.
It doesn't. In fact, we have a school in Marana, Picture Rocks Elementary, that is in a two-year pilot program right now where they have instituted a policy of no homework. It's going to be interesting to see how that study unfolds. But if you look at two books, which I would strongly suggest to listeners if they're interested in this subject, there's a book by Alfie Cohen called The Homework Myth, Too Much of a Bad Thing. And there's also another book by Etta Krakalvich, who wrote Schools Should End Homework. Too much of that is a bad thing. And there's also a lot of other research on the topic. But let me talk a little bit about some of the myths of homework, because I think, again, this is a subject that a lot of parents are really interested in. First of all, it's really clear that the quality of the school cannot be measured by the amount of homework it assigns. I think sometimes parents think of schools and they qualify them by the amount of homework they give. And the reality is that we know that it's not really a measure of the rigor of a curriculum.
Also, some parents may think that it's not a good school if there's not enough piles of homework.
Exactly.
That's ridiculous.
So piling
right?
higher and deeper is not necessarily a measure of quality at all. The other thing, is that there really is no clear evidence that homework increases student achievement. There have been a number of studies on this topic, and in fact, I point out two international examples, Japan and Finland, who really assigned very little homework, you know, in their national curriculums, and we know that they clearly outperform students. Our American students in that arena. The other thing is that we look at the kind of homework assigned, it really does make a difference. For example, practice homework does reinforce learned skills. And we also know that there's a, what's called integration homework, where students are assigned a long-term project, such as in social studies or in science, where they have a chance to investigate something and apply multiple skills. Those are probably the two types of homework, if it's going to be assigned, are the most productive.
So the latter would be that you just mentioned, that you articulated, would be almost like perhaps over a several-week period, maybe a semester. That is not a homework assignment, an overnight homework assignment.
No, it isn't. And it also is an opportunity for the parent to become engaged with the student as well, which is, I think, quite advantageous in that kind of homework assignment. The other is a homework of practice, and that is to reinforce skills. We know, for example, that some mathematical operations require practice, and there isn't enough time in the day, in the school day, for students to learn and practice multiplication skills.
Foreign language skills.
Division skills, a number of those skills require additional practice. But this is a time where I think parents can interact in a more routine manner with students. So rather than calling it homework, I like to call it home routine. For example, parents should set aside time every day to read with students, read to them, read with them. Use math games, flashcards, other kinds of ways that they can engage students in more of a fun, less drudgery kind of experience that helps them practice those skills. And then if there is a long-term project, for example, in science or social studies, they can work with the students, make it more of a family activity where they actually help and assist and work with students, side by side.
Go ahead. I was just going to say about elementary school. Evidence indicates elementary school students' achievement will not be affected by a no homework policy.
We believe the research seems to validate that it really doesn't affect it. And, the fact that parent engagement with homework is very unpredictable. It's a very unclear variable. Families struggle.
Two parents working.
Try to balance a workload.
There just may not be time to.
Right. There's after school activities. Yeah. There's sheer fatigue. And, the other thing is that parents oftentimes may not, particularly in the upper grades, have the skills to help students. And so it's really a very independent kind of project. And we know, particularly in lower economic communities, that many students simply don't return their homework. They don't have a place to do the work. Mm. They don't return it. There's not a lot of reinforcement comes out of those assignments. So it ends up being frustrating for teachers.
So the students
just basically
blow off the homework assignment.
They do for a number of reasons, some of which may not really even be their fault.
Well, there was an interesting debate in the education, I think the Education Journal, right, that came out about homework. And the gentleman who really wants to speak in favor of homework says homework is making a comeback. And he says for today's digitally connected kids, learning does not stop when the school day ends.
And it doesn't stop when the school day ends, and I would absolutely agree with that. But what is learning? And if students are engaged in research on the computer, if they're learning things that they're inquisitive about, that in a sense is part of the home routine. But I can't emphasize enough that the idea of setting aside time every day in which a parent engages students in reading is probably one of the strongest reinforcement tools that can take place. That is good practice and it's very, very helpful in the child's achievement level.
But just giving the student busy work isn't really going to accomplish anything, is
it? It really doesn't. Maybe it makes the parent feel better about that, but it's not really going to help the child that
and
much.
And how do the teachers feel about it? And we are out of time, basically.
Yeah, I think teachers would be happy not to have the drudgery of dealing with something which is really kind of frustrating to them.
Because there's a lot of time involved, obviously, for the teachers. They've got to grade the homework assignments.
Right, and to what end?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. What's the
We're not sure what positive purpose that gains.
There you go. Dr. Robert Hendricks with us on the Buckmaster Show. Bob, thank you very much. We'll see you. Actually, you're scheduled for a week or so.
Yes,
so we'll see you next week.
Terrific.
With a different education topic. Coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. The two of them get together and put on their program from 4 to 5 this afternoon. And then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson, 3 hours, 6 to 9. A program called Talking Culture is on from 9 to 10. That's a relatively new program. My program is coming up at 12:04 tomorrow, our midweek edition. Steve Kasachek will join us, Tucson City Councilman. Until then, on behalf of Ray, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.